righteously. Did we finish that? We didn't finish that. No, we were on, in judging righteously, how we judge others, correct? How we judge others. So God willing, we should be finishing this up. Once again, the judging righteously is so important because we are responsible for judging. Okay, there is a responsibility in Christians judging in the way they're supposed to. Sound judgment. The Bible likes to use the word sound in many cases. Sound means take everything and put it together before. Don't just use one verse. And that's why you have so many Christians who do argue, because we're one verse, or, you know, I am a two book doctrine Christian, or I'm a just the end book doctrine Christian, or I am a Pauline doctrine Christian. Or no, you have to be a full biblical doctrine Christian, means I'm following the entire Bible. And that's where we have to make sure we're in the entire thing. We got to see how we judge will affect how we are judged. We got to see the parable and the understanding of the true elements of judging. We got to see how that the judgment that the one with the talent made. Judgment has to be based on God. You know what I mean? We got to, hopefully everybody understood that parable. We went over it a couple of times. So if you still didn't get it, let me know, and we'll make sure we clear it up. So where we last left off was where? I just said it. How we judge others. Yes. Okay. So how we judge others. So we finished up when judging, we must take many factors into consideration. We said age, integrity, and responses. So where we last left off is how we judge others is what we define where we are with God. Okay. How we judge others is what we define where we are with. Let's see what that means. James 1 verse 27 says, religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this. So then he's like, okay, you want to be religious? Here's the only acceptable religion to God. He says to look after orphans and widows in their distress. That's the first thing. Okay, and I have that underlined because that's going to be the judgment. Not just to look after orphans and widows, but to look after orphans and widows in their distress. So I have to make a judgment, if that makes sense. You know, when we go to 1 Timothy, and we saw that, I think, earlier concerning the widows. Remember, the church has to make a judgment on which widows are put on a list and which are not. I can't just go, if you're over 60, you're on a list. You understand that? It was a thing that they went through on things that they had to do. There was a judgment made that had to be made on that in order for them to get on the list. Some people may look at it. In fact, if I wouldn't have read that, you have some churches that would just put them on the list. It's the right thing to do, is what we'll say, out of emotion. Instead of going, wait, the Bible gave steps because he wants to give us that clear understanding. So in that same way, we help in their distress. First of all, are we looking for them in their distress? So you have some that are minding their own business and doing nothing for anybody. And then you have some that are helping any of them in their irresponsibility. We're helping them in their lack of going the wrong way, or how we're helping them. We either help them based on them, not them based on God, if that makes sense. Do you understand that? And I mean, there was a guy who kept giving this young man money because he thought he wasn't eating, and the kid was using it for drugs. He was eating well. He was at home eating well, and he needed money. He needed money for drugs. So he goes to this guy and said, they're not feeding me. And he thought he was helping out. I'm giving money on the side. I was helping him out. And he was supplying his drug habit. Y'all get this? You understand? And it's something that's simple. But if he would spend time talking or going to the family or whatever he was supposed to take into distress. So there's a judgment we have to. And this is why the second half of this, and to keep oneself from being polluted by the world. The reason why we do things so wrong is we've taken concepts that sound or seem. What are those two things? Senses. Sound and seem are senses, right? So that sound good or seem good, we've taken those things and we've added them to Christianity. In turn, we've polluted the word and we've polluted ourselves. And this is why it's so hard for us to judge, because we judge solely based upon other. And we don't judge solely based upon God. We judge based upon other things. What's going on?
Was there a reason in the Bible a widower married twice was not to be helped?
It didn't necessarily say if they were married twice. Well, let's go to that. Okay, because I think that's a good question. So when you go, we're just go up on your page. If you look at your page, you go up like two things. On 1 Timothy 5, 9 through 15. 1 Timothy 5, 9, let's read that. He's saying no widow may be put on the list of widows unless she is over 60 and has been faithful to her husband. okay, and is well known for her good deeds, such as bringing up children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, helping those in trouble, and devoting herself to all kinds of good deeds. As for younger widows, do not put them on such a list, for when their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. So now, wanting to marry is not bad. Remember, because in this role, and I know some people in today's world, everybody works and we're in a whole different thing, but the man's responsibility was to take care of his wife and his family. Man is supposed to be the provider. Now, you hear it now, that's sexist, and you're not supposed to do that, and women can do just... we're not getting in that argument, but the Bible shows us the man is the head and man is the provider. And it's saying when the man dies, that provider is gone, so the church is to take that role, but only for a certain group. Does that make sense? He's basically saying, but you'll have some that'll just focus on the remarrying while they're being taken care of, if that makes sense. So it's saying then you encourage the younger ones to marry if that's what they're going to do. So you don't put them on such a list. So maybe they work or maybe they do other things. You get them on that. It's not going against them just marrying. Let's keep going. It's saying, as for young ones, do not put them on such a list. When their sensual desires overcome their dedication to Christ, they want to marry. So then it goes on, thus they bring judgment on themselves because they have broken their first pledge. What does that mean? When you accept being put on the list, you're saying that this, you are the church, is my provider. Does that make sense? Okay? And this is where, like, some people, even the Catholics, even used in this. So it's implied in this, and saying besides, they get into the habit of being idle, going about from house to house, and not only do they become idlers, okay, but also gossips and busybodies, saying things they ought not to. So I counsel younger widows to marry. You see what I'm saying? So you encourage them to remarry. And it says to have children, to manage their homes, and to give the enemy no opportunity for slander. Some have, in fact, already turned away to follow Satan. If somebody gets put on the list, what they're saying, and that's why he's saying over 60, even though it's really not too late if a person wanted to, the main input was for the church now become the provider. And then that widower now serves the church in that sense. Does that make sense? That the church becomes that head in their lives. So that one's a tough one for people to do if we overlook it, because our society has grown so far away from that, and the church followed the society and not this. You look at what this word is saying, and we really still had that concept, we'd still be following that concept. But not in today's world, you know, how we see gender, how we see roles is all messed up. So it's not what the Bible's saying, it's how we've distorted it. Does everybody get that? Hopefully that answers your question. So it's getting married is not the problem. It's once they accept that role of being put on the list, they're accepting the church as being their provider. But if they accept the church as being their provider and they go look for a husband, then that kind of messes up that whole process. Amen? Oop. You're the question giver, so we're answering. Okay. So go. So Carolyn, if you have other questions, keep asking. So, alright, so now understand, we're under part where it says God is serious with how we treat the less fortunate. He's very serious about that. First of all, God describes human nature towards the poor. Proverbs 14:20, the poor are shunned even by their neighbors, but the rich have many friends. Okay? Then he says the treatment of the poor and needy defines our relationship with God. Watch this. It says in Proverbs 14, verse 31, he who oppresses the poor shows contempt for their maker. Stop there for a minute. Now, this is still clearly hidden. Okay? When I oppress the poor, I can do it directly or indirectly. And sometimes in our comfort, we can approve of things that take away from the poor based on our comfort. Amen? Or we can overgive or give in the wrong way out of convenience, which once again oppresses them as well. You know, it's much easier to reach out the window and give them $5-$10 and drive away than to go, can I go get you something to eat? Which means then I have to go to the store, got to wait in line, get them what they want, then I got to come back to where they're at and say, here you go. Do you understand that? And then would you like to talk or anything like that? But no, I got stuff to do. We're in a hurry. And he's basically saying how we are treating them or not is God taking it as it also it fits Matthew 25 when he says, whoever does this for the least of these have done it for me. And people don't take that serious today. And it doesn't go, once again, those who directly do it. This goes for indirectly. You know what I mean? So be careful, like I said, when you participate or non, I mean, your participation in politics, your participation in certain groups, your participation in certain things that may take away, make sure it's biblically driven or set, or you better be careful because you have to answer for it because it's showing contempt for your maker. Okay? Yes.
So how do we look at it? Like you said, it's very important about looking out for the poor.
Yes.
So how do you look at it as, like you're saying, today you see homeless or people standing on the corner or organizations are asking for money?
Yep.
So as a Christian, if you don't personally know a situation, or how do you look at it as making sure that we're following the word?
So a big part of it is hold your church home responsible for doing it. You know what I mean? So your church home. First of all, hold your church home responsible for doing that. You got where I'm coming from. And then there's a verse that even says, now what they do, you have to almost hold it up, and then we're held accountable for that. So let's say, and that's a perfect example in this, like as I'm a minister and I'm ministering, somebody in church may say, I want to take up the thing of giving and helping the poor. So this is still going to be under the church leadership, even though it would be under my leadership, it would be something that we would do. And then we maintain that. And we do it in a godly way. You got where I'm coming from. The Red Cross is, I think, a good organization, but it's a good worldly organization. You got where I'm coming from. So we should be investing in a Christian organization doing it the godly way. You understand that? And it would be following God, and you would do it. Once again, the reason why we go to a bunch of these organizations is because they exist, and it's convenient.
So when you say Christian organization,
So another church, you could say another church or your church. Like if this FSG, even though we're small, let's say somebody says, you know what, there's something I want to get into. Then you would get a group together and y'all say, Pastor, can we do this? We put it together, we have it, and then it would be established and taken care of and watched. Do you understand? Or you would look at another church because we're all one body. It would usually be, most likely have to be a Christian organization to make sure they're doing it correctly. That's why Paul and them were collecting for others that need it in time. You've seen that happening as well. But you leave that to them, hoping in God that they're doing it. When you do it on an outside organization, you can't even hope in them because God has absolutely nothing to do with it. Does that make sense? They may pray in it or whatever, but when you know they're not even... We go to organizations that are government organizations. They don't have God in there anywhere. You might have some people in there that pray, some people in there to do it. You're setting yourself up. Do you get where I'm coming from? Secondly, Christian organizations got to be careful when they get into it, because sometimes they'll get lured into it, they'll do it, accept what we call government grants, and then you depend on the government grants, and then when the government grants, then they have you almost strapped. Yeah, you do this, we're going to take them away from you. To where you should go. You can give me grants if you want, but they will not be part of my budget. I'll take them and use them when I can, and when I don't have them, I'm still going to work off of what we budgeted. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? We got to be wise that it's strictly God. And if they want to give money, I'm not going to push it away. They don't want to give money, I'm still moving. We're still doing it with what we have. So we get it or we don't. It will never be curbed. It has to be to where everything that the organization is doing, you would ask questions. Like you're supposed to do with the word. Remember it says the Bereans check to see if everything that Paul said was true. So in the same thing in an organization, you may come in and say, hey, when we do this, is there a way we can get a list of exactly what this church is doing and how we're giving? And remember I told you the one question that came up about the mission, and for a Christian to say something bad about the mission, people would, oh, you don't do that. The only complaint I have is the verse that says if a man doesn't work, he doesn't eat. And you know that concern is, and I understand because they're one of the only groups that really do it. So you have other churches that are just as bad because they're not doing it at all, but they're giving to everyone for the most part. You understand? It should be organized in a way of, I'm going to offer this to you. There's going to be some offer for work to be done or things to be done in order for you to earn this. Do you understand what I'm saying? And we're going to give you food and stuff like that. And we're going to work with you in that way based on what you do. Not just come, we'll feed you. You have a place to sleep if there's room. Does that make sense? It would be more involved. And that's why he's saying when I oppress the poor, oppression comes in two ways. When I am doing stuff purposely to hurt them, or when I do stuff thinking I'm helping them and I'm hurting them. Does that make sense?
So how do we draw the line between who's needy and then who's just using the services for their gain?
So that's where that's why we're doing the sermon or this Bible study on judging righteously. We have to have more relationships. Does that make sense? We've gotten so busy, and that's why I'm glad of these questions, that what I'm implying to us nowadays is foreign. Do you get where I'm coming from? So what the organization would entail, and you're going to get a lot of, you know, the heartbreaks and stories like that, it would be a ministry along with it. It would be a Christian counseling along with it, a Christian group that comes along with it. Like there was one they had in, I think it was in either Tennessee or whatever, and you come and eat, but you had to stay for a session or a sermon or you got where I'm coming from, and you had to go over things, and you had to, and then questions were asked. You had to talk about things before any food or anything was given. You understand? Some people are like, I'm not sitting here waiting for that. So it wasn't. It was something in which you would engage them. Do you understand? Are you always going to be right? No. But the act of putting that towards is what God is saying. When my purpose is to make sure I'm doing it in the right way, then I'm not held accountable for what I don't know. When I make no effort into doing it, then I'm no different than the guy who hid his talent. Does that make sense? When I just do it and move on, I'm held accountable for just doing it. But when I do it with godly purpose, I'll go, okay, God said, man, it doesn't work, it doesn't need, but I am supposed to take care of the poor and the oppressed. I got to take care of them in their distress. I got to make sure I carry them in their burden, but I can't carry their load. You see how I just did that? Took all the verses, everything I'm doing has to be sort of reported by. If I just went, I'm helping them, I could be doing them danger.
And I think that's what we struggle with, because you see the people who like stay in the corners.
Yep.
And you don't know if they're really truly homeless or not.
Nope.
And you say, well, I'm going to give it to them, and what they do to, you know, out of kindness of my heart, what they do with it, so now, but that's not true either.
No.
Because we could be enabling.
Yeah, absolutely. So there's nothing wrong with at first. Maybe the first time you see them, let's say you drive down, you see one of them, and if their sign says, one food, blah, blah, blah. So then next time you go buy some something at food, or you make something at home, and then next time you see them, you hand it up. Here you go. So you're giving them a bag of food. Now, they may say, God bless you or whatever, or they may like, do you understand that? So you're not even giving them a chance unless they can sell your food. Do you understand? You know what I mean? But do you understand what I mean? You're going. But now you making or buying it is going to be an inconvenience. And that's why we don't do it. It's easier just to give them cash. And that's why a lot of them, you see it even a lot more in his time doing it and looking very healthy in many cases. You understand? Secondly, engaging them. Now, I wouldn't recommend it for everybody at every time, because it's not the most safest thing, but I would say do it in groups, do it in areas. When I say engaging them, talking to them. So what's going on? Why are you in this situation? What's going on? You know what I mean? If they want to engage and they want to talk about it, and some of them are ready to give you the whole spiel and all that, and that's when you just offer. And I told you there was one guy who had a farm, and his farm purposely was to go get people who said they will work to eat, and he did it. He consistently did it. He said some would come back, some would not, some would change their lives, some would not. He said, but they all worked for it. He said, so I gave him a job, basically, and I looked up. He would purposely go to find those who were homeless to do the work. Would you like to work? I'd be more than glad to give you. Does that make sense? You know what I mean? He wouldn't exploit them. He paid them for it. You know what I mean? He gave them food. He told them what they were going to pay. So they worked for it. Now what they did with their money after that was that. You got where I'm coming from. Yes.
I know the scriptures that stand out for me, and this is the one where it says, how do you know you're not entertaining angels?
Yep.
And also, when Jesus was like, when I was hungry, you didn't feed me.
Right.
So those two stick out to me when I see people in that situation. That I
Amen.
Good.
Amen.
Not even being angry, but sometimes I'm like,
oh, right, right.
And I have anything, but those two stick out.
Amen.
Which makes you kind of be like, all right, well, I guess you was one of them. Sometimes I do, sometimes I may put something in the cup, sometimes
right.
I don't. But those are two that stick out to me when I'm like, should I have took the time maybe to ask some questions?
Right. And not take some questions to say if I'm going to give you money. It's more of I'm going to help them, but how I'm going to help them. You'd be surprised how many of them, if you were to give food, you got where I'm coming from, they would. I told you, Sister Lisa and I, in both cases, one time the person did take the food, the other time the person was gone. Do you understand that? But I remember, you know, even after that case, then they seen this, they're just like, hi. You know what I mean? I remember when we saw the other guy, we seen him a second time after we bought him the food the first time, they seen this, he just kind of waved to us. You know what I mean? But it was just more of, I don't know, they probably buy me some more food. You know what I mean? And that's the hard part in that. You got where I'm coming from. However, there are a lot more, and it's not always those just on the street. There are those who are struggling because they lost their jobs. There are those who are going through a hard time who are really trying, that I think we can engage more, much easier than just these on the street that are exploiting. And I'm not saying all of them are, but the majority that are really going through hard times are not doing that. Do you understand? And we can engage those. What can I do to help you out? We see people that are really, we see single moms who are really trying. Do you ever come from, they're working their butt off to a job that's paying them close to nothing. There's stuff we can do. It may not always be with money, but it may be engaging. You know what I mean? There's families that lost a loved one, or there's ones that got laid off. Just keep an eye on those. You got where I'm coming from? Helping them to find another job is the part that's helping. You know what I mean? So this is where we are making it a factor, and it's work, and it takes time, and it's inconvenient. And that's the part it's saying. But you're saying, I'm looking out for my brothers and sisters in the right way, but not to enable them. That's where that verse is. Everyone must carry their own load. When he puts that verse, see, hopefully that sticks with you too, of we are to carry each other's burdens. So your burdens are my responsibility, but your load is your responsibility. If I cross those lines, I'm in trouble. Does that make sense? If I make what you call, if you make your regular life, because you, like we have the kids, me and somebody at work was talking where kids today are looking for a job they like. So they'll stay unemployed until they find a job they like. Then they're going to be the ones on the street and they'll probably starve to death. And that's their fault. Not because there's no jobs, it's because I'm trying to find a job I like. You see the problem here? Okay, we've raised them only to do things you like. If you don't like it, then don't do it. And then, but we're still helping them. That's carrying their load. Okay? Mine would be, and I remember I had there was somebody we did that with, in which we took them to a place, they got it. They had good employment. Do you understand? They didn't like the job. They quit. And it would go through that. And you put them in danger if you enable that. Does that make sense? Because then we're catering to that. That's where it's open. But you see how it's engaging it and not just giving for convenience. Because I think that can be very irresponsible. You know, which we do sometimes with our kids. Instead of really disciplining your kids, that doesn't mean spanking them when you think they're bad. It means you take time, you talk to them, you give them rules, you spend time with them, you get to know them. All this stuff comes into play. This is why sometimes a lot of us where our work took us away from raising our family, God's going to hold us accountable for that. He's not going to go, well, I understand you had to work. No, he's going to go, this is your responsibility. Why weren't you doing it? If I use that job as my thing, he should have said, you should have found another job. Do you understand what I mean? That child is my responsibility. My wife is my responsibility. My home is my responsibility. I can never use one to overtake an entire responsibility, if that makes sense. Make sense? You know, we're too busy today. Yes?
Are we supposed to help the people in the church first before people outside?
Yes. Yep. The Bible makes that clear. It says first to the believer, then to the unbeliever. Absolutely. Other questions? I'm glad we're getting the engagement on that, because finishing up Proverbs 14:31, it says, but whoever is kind to the needy honors God. And now, kindness is part of the fruit of the Spirit. Don't mistake it for worldly kindness. Worldly kindness is just being worldly nice. Do you understand it? Big difference. Godly kindness, there's an understanding of how you're doing it, and it has God in it. Remember, it's from the Spirit. It's spiritual in how you do that, okay? You're going to be careful. So that means even when I don't, I do it in a way that doesn't demean or that's not mean to them or that's not knocking them, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? I do it in a way that I still am doing it respectfully and hopefully guiding them to Christ.
So, I know we're talking about not enabling people.
Mm-hmm.
But what about situations where, you know, the parent has made some not so good decisions, and you can help them?
Yep.
And they have younger children and things like that. I think we might have touched this a couple years back, but what about situations like that? Because when you talk about charity,
yep, yep.
You know, being charitable,
yep.
You know, helping out those situations,
mm-hmm.
How do you know? Because some people just, it's not even malicious. They just make bad decisions and don't know any better.
Oh, yeah, oh, yeah. I'm not knocking them if a person got to a certain point. And they're there and they're trying to, now they're trying, like I said, somebody may have multiple kids due to young decisions, bad decisions, stuff like that. Now they're trying to raise a family. If that's what they're trying to do, they're in a tough situation. If they're working and everything, then yeah, we may pick up, because a lot of it may be, I'm really trying hard, so you help them. Then you help them, and that's all you do is help them. Make sure you don't take it away from them. Do you understand where I'm coming from? You help them with it. Like the reason why, like, the government welfare program failed miserably. It's either you do nothing and we give you a little bit, or you try to work your butt off, which is not going to pay you anything, and we give you nothing. And it put them in a bad position of what? Because you have some that say, I just need help. You understand that? And that's where we as Christians should step up and just give that help. What can I help with? If I could just have this part of my groceries taken, you got it. Did you get where I'm coming from? The one church we did go to, which was, really wasn't a Christian church, but praise God, the one aspect they did is they made these bags of food that were very helpful to us at a time when we were struggling. That concept was exactly right. It was something that we went in, we were able to grab these, and it came in helpful in filling a part of a budget that we didn't have. We were still working, we were still doing, it helped an edge. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? And that's where we have to be careful on how we are doing that. Do you understand that? And that we're doing that, and that we're looking. But that takes engaging. Do you understand that? That takes getting to know them. That gets sitting down and talking to them. Do y'all understand that? Okay, so we have to be very careful in that. But you don't go, well, if they weren't in that situation, that's what we don't want to do. You don't want to blame them for being in it. Now, if they're continually being in a situation, you don't want to keep supporting the bad situation. That's where you want to be careful with that, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? There was one, I remember, because the mom, she kept spending their money, that would reach out to feed the kids. So the family would go, you know, the kids are more than welcome to come over to eat. And I remember one time the mom said, you never invited us, and the mom and dad sat her down and explained. The reason why we've been doing it, she's Christian, supposedly, you got what I'm saying? She was in the church and everything, and they explained to her the situation. We're feeding the kids because they're being put in a bad situation. Now, of course, she was angry for them bringing that up to her, but they were trying to explain the situation to her. So it was a very awkward, like Norman said, it's not always comfortable. That's a rebuke that we're supposed to do. But sometimes, like I said, it's convenient just to do it, isn't it? You know what I mean? Then to really take, and a lot of this stuff, it's meant for us. It's never meant to be cut and dry. We would love it to be. You need help, I give you help. I smile, you smile, we feel good. You got where I'm coming from? In reality, it's an engagement. It's a hospitality. In fact, we'll close on this. Go to Romans 12. Remember I said, Romans 12 is like the cliff notes on being a Christian. It like puts everything of what a Christian should be in one big package, and then you got the whole Bible to really now expand and really explain it in detail. But Romans 12 kind of breaks it down. And when you go down to the bottom, it goes down to really show now what we're supposed to do. When you start with verse 13, this kind of hit on what Sister Carolyn was asking. It says, share with God's people who are in need. Do y'all see that first? So for him to say that first, is he's saying, I got to know who's in need. So I got to get to know you. When it says practice hospitality, this is one of those translations. In our world today, hospitality means they come over, I'm going to offer them something to drink. Would they like some hors d'oeuvres? You know what I mean? As we heard in men's group, we weren't given anymore. So we did offer this one time, people didn't show up. But so I just want to let y'all know. But anyway, okay. But no, hospitality is that engagement with hospitality in this verse means you have my undivided attention. Do we just sit down to talk to? Do you understand what I mean? See, sometimes we'll do stuff together, and that's nice, but hospitality is that we just talk, getting to know you. You understand that? Getting to know you. Bless those who persecute you. So in other words, and bless those do not curse. He's basically saying, so even do it with people that don't care for you too much. You understand that? Live in harmony with one another. Do you notice how he says live in harmony? That means you're doing what you can to do what's right with the other people. Do not be proud, but willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. So you're looking for those, you know, in a case where you're saying, and he says associate, and that key word in there is meaning being around, hanging around. We like to hang around people that are like us on our same level, and they're saying, no. You got to start hanging around people that you may not necessarily hang around. Do you understand that? You're probably, I'm not hanging with them. You know what I mean? No, you got to. Remember I said, person working on your nerves, take them lunch. That's an association. Do y'all get where I'm coming from? And not because you want a great friendship or anything. You're doing it because it's what we're supposed to do. Do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. Okay? If it is possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Okay? Do not take revenge, my friends. Leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, if it is mine to avenge. And And then he even goes as far in verse 20 saying, on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. The whole concept, if you notice, is where I have to almost massage into me as a Christian. This is still what I just read is foreign. If you really think about it, in our actions, this is foreign. We hear it and we go, amen, and we may do it once or twice. We're just not engaging in it the way we're supposed to. Or we'll do it our way. We'll do it when we're comfortable. Or we'll challenge others to do it instead of you encourage. And you know what I mean? You'll pick what you're comfortable with and force others to do it. There's ways of doing it that we make sure it's being done in the right way. Do you understand that? So you get to know them. Then you'll know when somebody's in need. You'll know, but you'll know when they're not. Because when they're not in need and they're working out of greed or whatever, you can rebuke them. When they are in need, you can help them. But you'll know that. Does that make sense? You get an understanding. You have to get to know them. So that hospitality is so important. So just using that as an example, and there's a lot of verses like this. There's one in Ephesians, I think in Timothy, and 1 and 2 Peter. It shows us these where it shows us what we are supposed to do with one another in order to keep in contact and understanding of one another so we know how to react with each other's situation. Make sense? Amen? Other questions? All right. We will stop there. So, we still didn't finish what I thought we were going to finish, but praise God. That's all right. We still got a lot done. So, let us pray.